Money is a renewable resource, right? I can always do things to make more money, but you know what I can't make more of? Is time. Welcome. I am Camilla Jeffs, a 20-year student of money. I'm an introvert who started out broke and full of fear. Fast forward to today, where I've conquered the secrets of getting my financial house in order, become a professional investor, and built a business that supports my family. And I'm going to show you exactly how I did it. We're going to talk about getting in the game as a real investor, building a business to support you, and passing on wealth strategies to the next generation. Think of this as your one-stop shop for all things money. This is the Quiet Wealth Podcast. Thank you for joining the Quiet Wealth Podcast. I am your host, Camilla. I'm so glad you're here. And if you're new to Quiet Wealth, welcome. It's so great to have you here. And here at Quiet Wealth, we talk about three things. We talk about investing, how to level up and get into the game and be a real investor. We talk about building a business that you can run and that will maximize your investing to build wealth. And finally, the third thing we talk about is generational wealth, how to pass on to the next generation and set them up for financial success. So I'm in the middle of a series about mentorship and coaching. And the last episode, I talked about the top seven benefits from hiring a coach. So I hope you have taken that initiative and gone out and hired yourself a coach, or at least reached out and started talking to other people and figuring out who uses a coach and where you can find one. But today, I wanted to get a little bit more personal with you. It's episode 69. We're going to talk about top five lessons that I've learned from my high performance coach. So let me back up a little bit before we dive into the lessons and just set the stage for you. In 2020, we had moved to Texas with my corporate job. I was working a W-2, and it was our fourth move to four states in 4 years. So you can imagine the toll that would take on a family. Five children, most of all are teenagers, and we're trying to navigate the schools, we're trying to navigate the credit transfers, and long story short, it messed up several of my kids in terms of their graduation and setting them up for even being able to be valedictorian or even top 10% in their classes because we just moved a lot. Because every state has their own rules and their own way that they teach math, for example. It was pretty challenging. So we get to Texas and we start going, you know, working through the motions and getting the kids in school and all of that. I quickly realized that working my W-2 is not what I want to do. The reasons why was not because I hated the work. I actually liked the work. I loved being in HR. I love supporting tech teams. I loved working with developers and data scientists. I love being in the tech world. What was not working for me was time freedom and income freedom. And those two things were the things that I decided that are more important to me. And I need to go out and figure out a way to do that on my own. I need to get back my time freedom. I didn't have much of it at all. And I wanted the freedom to earn as much money as I wanted to earn. And in HR, it's very apparent that we're trying to cap salaries, right? So there's salary caps all around. We're trying to figure out the smallest amount of money that we can pay because, I mean, we have a business to run. We have to manage our finances. And so I totally get it. Corporations, how they work. But as I'm studying my own succession line, and how long it would take me to go from six figures to multiple six figures, I got pretty dissatisfied. And like, you know, I think I could do it better on my own. So then I decided, well, I'm going to step out and I'm going to actually do my own and launch my own business. So I launched my own business and I did it, you know, prior to leaving my W-2. And that's a whole story I told in another podcast episode. But when it came time for me to exit my W-2 and become an entrepreneur, this is when I got pretty nervous because I was like, I feel like I need support because it's such a drastic difference when you are working a W-2 and you have your day just planned out for you. I mean, you wake up in the morning and you're like, okay, here's my meeting schedule and here's the projects that I have to do and they're due by this time. And it's always somebody else telling you what to do for the most part. Contrast that with being an entrepreneur and you wake up, you're like, nobody's telling me what to do. So I got my whole day before me and I don't really know what to do. And I knew that would be jarring for me. The other thing I knew would be jarring for me was the difference in the way income came in, because as a W-2, right, you're used to a steady paycheck. It comes in every 2 weeks and you get your money in your bank account. And we were to the point where like we didn't even know when payday was, because it didn't really matter to us, because it just, our bank account just kept growing because we live within our means and we liked doing that. So with these two issues in mind, I knew I needed some support, and I was trying to figure out, well, what kind of support could I get? And I knew about performance coaching and I'd heard about it. And I interviewed a couple of people and I was like, you know, can I just try this? Can we just try it? Because I was very hesitant to spend money on it. I'm like, I feel like I can't, you know, just X my W-2 and then just throw a whole bunch of money around, because I need to make sure I have money coming in, that I'm going to be successful as an entrepreneur. They say 90% of entrepreneurs fail, which, side note, 100% of us fail. And we just get back up and try again and try again and try again. And so I was nervous about this whole process. So I found a high performance coach and I hired her a couple of months before exiting my W-2, because I wanted some support. And I just want to tell you, friend, that was the best decision that I've ever made. That single decision to hire the performance coach, who I still work with today, has been monumental in the way I have been able to work through mindset blocks, work through challenges, and really raise my own personal level of performance to achieve some pretty fantastic goals that I didn't think I would be able to achieve. And my high performance coach has been there, and I meet with her every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks we have a session, and it's been pretty amazing. It's kind of like therapy. If any of you have had therapy, it's very similar to therapy, except it has a different tweak on it. Therapist helps you when you're sick. A coach helps you when you're well and helps you get even better at what you're doing. And so that's one of the reasons I love having a high performance coach. So as I was designing this series for you, I was just thinking about, you know, why should I just figure out something to tell you about, you know, reasons why coaching is awesome? I'm just going to go straight to the source. I'm going to go straight to my high performance coach, and I'm going to kind of open up what sessions look like and what we talk about and the lessons that I have learned from my high performance coach that have really catapulted my success. The lesson number one was struggling with scarcity around money. This was an issue that I had. And remember, I told you it was jarring for me to change from being an employee to being the CEO of my own company, because my steady paycheck was gone. It's kind of like a drug, you know, you're just like, you're used to it. It just comes and now all of a sudden it's gone and you're going to withdrawal. I need this. I need this. So she and I've had to work through this. And to be honest, I'm still not there. I'm a lot better than I was before, but I still have scarcity mindset around money. And so when I was looking back at my notes that I took from our sessions together, you know, one of the things that she helped me understand is that God has provided for all of my needs so far, right? And whether you believe in God or you believe in the universe or a higher power, you have been provided for all your needs. The fact that you're here today listening to this podcast means you've been provided for. And so you can take a lot of comfort in knowing that there is a higher power that provides for all your needs. The second thing we talked about in the session, in these sessions around money, was what is the evidence? Look back into where are you at exactly right now? Like, find the facts. What are the facts, Camilla, about your financial situation? And so then every time I did this, every time I did this exercise, you know, every time I'd get anxious about money or starting to feel scarce about money, like it's just not coming. I'm just not going to have enough. I don't have enough. I would have to find the facts. And every time I did this exercise and I went through all of the facts came back as being good. The next thing she told me was I need to release money. Money is a renewable resource, right? I can always do things to make more money, but you know what I can't make more of? Is time. And this was a very powerful lesson that I, when she and I talked about this, because I was focusing on the wrong things. I was so tied up in my scarcity around money that I didn't realize that my time is actually more valuable than any money that I make. So this was something that was provided some pretty big aha moments for me in this struggle with scarcity around money. Find the evidence, realize God has provided for all of my needs, and release money. Remember, it's a renewable resource. So if you're struggling with money, hopefully that will help you as well. Okay, the second lesson I learned from her and thing that we talked about was this topic of achievement. And she asked me, and remember I talked about in the other episode that coaches ask you some profound questions. So she said, you know, as a human being, do you always have to be achieving something? And I was like, whoa, that's a really interesting question. And I started thinking about my childhood and thinking about how I was praised for achieving, right? If I did well on a test, I got praise. If I got an A, I got paid for having an A for my grades. If I received an award for my piano accomplishment, I got praised. And it was always about achieving. And it was interesting because as I was thinking about that, I'm like, that's really interesting because now I feel like my worth is based on achievement. And then she says, well, okay, well, let's talk about this. What makes you valuable? And I was like, that's a hard question to answer. What makes me valuable? Huh? I don't know. And then as we talked through it, you know, she helped me realize my value is not based on what I produce. My value is based on just me because I'm already here. And then that made me think about, well, how do I value my children? So I'm going to tell you a story. When my oldest was like 6 years old, we had started her in soccer. So I was a big soccer player growing up. I played internationally for a while and I love soccer. I still play today on a 40 plus co-ed league. It's a riot. But anyway, we got her started in soccer and we tried to motivate her. You know, a lot of parents will do this. We try to motivate your kids. We're like, hey, if you score a goal, I'm going to give you $5. Or for us, it was ice cream. If you score a goal, I'm going to buy you some ice cream. And herein, as a parent, we're coming from it thinking, this is going to be so helpful for her because it's going to motivate her to score a goal. Well, here's the problem. She didn't score a goal. The next game, she didn't score a goal and she cried because she didn't get ice cream. The game after that, she didn't score a goal. And then the next game and the next game, and she didn't score any goals that whole season and was miserable after every single game because she did not achieve the reward that we had told her she could achieve if she did something very specific. And it totally backfired on us. We thought that putting this reward in front of her, be like, hey, you know, if you do this, you'll get an ice cream. We thought that would be motivating to her. And it actually turned out to be demotivating and devastating to her because she did not get ice cream. You know what I learned from that? I learned that we don't need to be paying our kids for an outcome that is not all in their control. Is scoring a goal 100% in her control? No, it's not. Right? It matters how well the other team plays. It matters the skill level of the other players on her own team. In soccer, you cannot win all by yourself. You cannot score goals all by yourself. You need the defense to do stuff to help you. You need the midfield to pass it up to you and then you need to be able to get through the other players and be better than the other players in order to score a goal. And so then she learned to base her value on not her as a player, not her as improving every time. Her value was placed on whether or not she scored goals. And so she was like, I'm a terrible player. I suck at soccer. And she would say stuff like that. And we're like, no, dear, you don't. You'll get it next time. Next time we'll get ice cream. I know next time. And next time never came. And so I was thinking about this with my high performance coach and I was telling her this story and she said, that's really interesting. So how do you value your kids? Are they valued based on their achievement? And are you setting them up for the same struggle that you're having right now and that you don't think you are of value unless you've achieved something, right? And what I have really learned from that experience is that now instead of praising my children for achievements in sports, for example, every time we go to one of their sporting events, whether or not they play well or awful, I say one thing to my kids. I say, I love watching you play. I love watching you play. And you know what message that sends to them? Is they are valuable, valued, and loved regardless of their achievements. Because their value is not based on their achievements. They're valued and loved because they're my child, right? Because they are. They are a human being and they are on this earth. They are with me and I love them. And my love for them is not going to change if they win or if they lose. They fall flat on their face or if they get 100% on their test. My love for them is not changing. And so I need to communicate that intentionally in everything that they're doing. And then finally, in this lesson about do I always have to be achieving, do I believe that I am enough today as I am? And I love Brendon Burchard in his book, High Performance Habits. He talks about this. He talks about the impact that you can have on others. And he says, but before we go into that, I just want you to know the impact you're having right now is enough. You don't need to create more impact. You don't need to give back more than you're already giving. Today is enough. And that was profound. That was profound for me because, you know, sometimes in life we feel like, oh, I'm just not doing enough. I just got to do more. I got to do more. I got to do more. And we need to cut that. We need to stop that. And we need to say, nope, what I'm doing today is enough. If some other parent can give a little bit more in an area, you know, maybe they can volunteer more for the theater club than I can. Great, great, good for them. I am enough. And this was a very powerful lesson that I worked through with my high performance coach. Okay, lesson number three. Again, it's a question she asked me. She says, we were talking about how to be present. And she gave me a really great question to ask myself. Because sometimes as an entrepreneur or a business owner or as a, you know, a high performance person, your brain keeps flitting to, oh my gosh, you got to do this thing. You got this next thing coming up and you didn't do that yet. And your brain just skips forward and doesn't allow you to be present in the moment. So for example, I have a family farm. We have a little farm and we raise many animals and I love it. It really helps me to anchor myself and ground myself and to stay present because I go out there and those animals, they don't have anything to worry about, right? They're just there being there. So the question that my high performance coach gave me is that she said, when you are in moments, I want you to say, ask, what should I be thinking about? What should I be thinking about? Right? When your mind goes into, oh my gosh, Camilla, you have all this other stuff to do, but I'm at my daughter's volleyball game, watching her play volleyball. What should I be thinking about in this moment? Should I be thinking about my to-do list that's at home? Should I be thinking about what are we going to have for dinner in 2 weeks when we have a party come over? Or should I be thinking about how much I love watching my daughter play sports? That is being present. Do you know what's really interesting about anxiety? Anxiety is a fear about a future something. That's all it is. It's a fear about something that's going to happen in the future. It's not reality. Anxiety is not based in reality. I'm anxious today because this thing is happening to me right now. No, because whatever the thing that's happening to you right now, you deal with it with a different emotion than anxiety. Anxiety is always future focused. Einstein once said that a calm and modest life brings more happiness than the pursuit of success combined with constant restlessness. And this is where I was. I have been, you know, in my performance and in my coaching and stuff. I keep talking to her like, oh, I just feel like I should be further ahead. I feel like I should be further ahead than I am now. And she's like, Camilla, listen, you need to be present and you need to be thinking about the now and not being so wrapped up in the future, because that's where the constant restlessness is coming from. And it was such a powerful moment. And it's one I still reflect on to this day. And it's something that it's a tool in my toolbox that when I'm in a moment and like stressing about all these things that I should be doing, I think, what should I be thinking about right now? This bike ride I'm having with my child, that's what I should be thinking about. And I should be enjoying this moment. Okay, lesson four. This one has been very good for me. She says, turbulence is a gift. It's a gift, people. It's not a problem. It's not a challenge. It's a gift because it shows me weak spots and it shows me things that I need to address. I love Mel Robbins. Mel Robbins, if you don't follow her, you need to follow her. She has written several books, and one of her books is called The 5 Second Rule. And the 5 Second Rule is such a powerful rule. I have been learning to use it for negative thinking. And basically is allow yourself to have the negative thinking for 5 seconds. And you count down from five and you say, okay, negative thoughts, they've been swirling in my head. And I'm going to stop the negative thinking in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. It's wild, friend. It's wild how saying this out loud, you say it out loud and you count out loud, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It like stops your brain in its tracks from the spiral of negativity that's happening and allows you to restart it in the direction that you want to go. Super powerful method. You can use this for anything. You can use this to get yourself up out of bed in the morning, right? You wake up and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. I don't want to get up. I don't want to, I just want to sleep for a little bit longer. You'd be like, no, okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I'm just going to count it down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I'm up and out of bed. It's a very powerful, very simple little thing that you can do to get yourself out of the negativity, out of the anxiety, and into the path that you want to go to. And the other thing about turbulence is that consistency transforms the average into excellence. So even when you're in turbulence, you should do the things that you know you need to do, like post on LinkedIn, for example, and give information out. You'll let people know about what's happening and put your content out. As a business owner, if you don't have content, if you're not talking about your business, you have no business. And so if you're not consistently doing that, you're not going to reach excellence. And it can transform the average person, aka yours truly, Camilla Jeffs, into excellence. And that's what's amazing about turbulence. The other thing about turbulence that I really love being a gift is that there's a level of humility that's required with great success. That's why I love this lesson that I've learned with my high performance coach is that, okay, yeah, something's going wrong in the business. Okay, I get that. Where's the gift? Where's the lesson? Where's the thing that's going to transform you and change you into a better leader, a better person, a better businesswoman? All right, number 5. The lesson is start where you are, use what you have, and do what you can. And I think we talked about this because I was getting upset and frustrated about not having control of all the situations. So we talked about releasing control. How you need to release control because you can't control everything, and trying to control everything just puts you into the wrong mindset. You have to tell yourself it's going to be okay. And starting where you are, like, right, life is not about who you were, it's about who you are now and who you will become. Because in the end, you're all you've got, and you have to build yourself from the inside out. So this lesson was super powerful for me because sometimes I get frustrated. I'm like, I just don't know this new thing. I want to try this new business line, this new product, this new income stream. I want to try and bring that into my business. I have no idea how to go, how to get there. She's like, fine, start where you are. Okay, well, I'm right here. Know nothing. All right, use what you have. Okay, what do I have? And then I look around. I'm like, what do I have? Well, I've learned how to do marketing and I'm getting pretty good at marketing. So, okay, great. Use marketing for this new product or service and then do what you can. And really, that's the essence of where we are, right? You can't do things you don't know. You can't learn things unless you try new things. And so it's this really cool cycle, but I just love that when we talk about our past, so there's a lot of coaching where you talk about your past and you kind of dig deep into where did these mindsets come from. But I love that phrase that she gave me that life is not about who you were. It's about who you are now and who you will become. So my friend, I hope that has helped you. I hope me opening up and sharing some of my vulnerable coaching moments with my own high performance coach helps you realize how powerful a performance coach could be for you, because those are just my personal issues that I've struggled with. And I'm sure you have other issues that you are struggling with. And the high performance coach could help you work through those. So having a coach or a mentor or someone you can reach out to. So please reach out to me if you need some help with this. I'd be happy to give you some guidance and direction on where you can go. So that's what I have for you today. Thanks so much for joining. Please remember to share this episode. We need to share all the education so we can share the wealth and help others grow. Thanks for joining. Bye for now. Thanks so much for joining me on the Quiet Wealth Podcast. If you want more, head on over to CamillaJeffs.com/podcast to get the show notes and dive into other episodes. While you're there, be sure to grab the free guide to building wealth. And if you know a friend who is struggling with money, please send this episode to them. Let's share the wealth in as many ways as we can. Until next time, much success.